is it time to restart deepwater drilling in the Gulf of Mexico?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The U.S. Secretary of the Interior, Ken Salazar, will be in Houston today meeting with oil industry executives. They want deepwater drilling to be restarted in the Gulf of Mexico. It's been on hold since the BP oil spill. Secretary Salazar wants to find out if the industry has figured out how to contain any future oil spill. For more on this story, let's bring in Barbara Shook. She's with the Energy Intelligence Group in Houston. Good morning.
Good morning.
So is the industry ready to start deep water drilling again and perhaps more importantly, to handle a spill?
Yes, I think they are. Last week, five major oil companies introduced the equipment that they believe will be able to contain a subsea blowout. And I think they're ready to go, and they've done this in less than a year. And I think that demonstrates that the industry can respond quickly and in the best-case scenario.
And how badly do oil companies need to be able to drill in the deep water in the Gulf? What's at stake for the companies?
Outside of Brazil and West Africa, this is the best opportunity that they have for large oil deposits that are not controlled by national oil companies. And they've made discoveries that they cannot develop. And these are very important to the U.S. The U.S. in the last 3 or 4 years has seen its oil production plateau instead of decline. And if we want to remain in that situation, which I think is becoming even more critical with the unrest in North Africa and the Middle East, we have to get back into the Gulf of Mexico.
Barbara Shook, Houston Bureau Chief for the Energy Intelligence Group. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Always a pleasure.
Well, voters in Ireland go to the polls today to choose a new government. The elections come just months after a bailout from the European Union and IMF worth more than $100 billion. And as Christopher Worth reports, the results of the vote could reopen questions about the terms of that bailout.
Ireland's faltering economy has dominated the campaign trail and political ads.
A country in crisis. Average people paying the price.
Ben Tonra is a political scientist at University College Dublin who's been following the election closely.
I think the Irish public, first of all, is frightened.
Frightened, he says, by a growing sense that Ireland is no longer fully in control of its own economic affairs after being bailed out by the rest of Europe.
We have literally the EU and the IMF looking over our shoulders. Really, it's a cause of national humiliation.
Two political parties, long in opposition, say it's time to reclaim Ireland's pride and independence. The parties Fine Gael and Labour are thought likely to form the next government.
Both have said very, very clearly that the deal that was negotiated by the previous Irish government has to be renegotiated.
The parties also say they want other European countries to share the burden of Ireland's growing debt, which is skyrocketing because the Irish government has guaranteed the hundreds of billions of dollars poured into the country's failing banks.
It's the amount of debt that could crush this country beyond repair.
Peter Matthews is a candidate for Fine Gael in Dublin. He says the money used to prop up Ireland's financial system is also preventing losses at other European banks that lent irresponsibly to banks in Ireland. But as it stands, Matthews says, Irish taxpayers are footing the entire bill for a problem they didn't create.
Therefore, there's no moral reason why they should be forced to take the responsibility of repaying that debt.
His party says if it's elected, it will try to restructure that debt by forcing investors in the big banks to take their losses, a move the European countries that bailed out Ireland are adamantly opposed to. They fear it could set a precedent for a string of bank defaults across Europe. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Europe and Asia this morning. Video gamers in Tokyo are getting ready for tomorrow's launch of Nintendo's new 3D handheld game player. You don't need special glasses to use it. The 3DS, as it's called, launches here in the U.S. next month. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 37 points to close at 12,068.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. and by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
The top-rated TV network has a gaping hole in its primetime lineup, at least for the next few months. CBS pulled the plug on Charlie Sheen and his show, Two and a Half Men, for the rest of the season. This after the actor trash-talked the show's creators during a radio interview. Two and a Half Men has more than 15 million viewers. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports on what the stoppage means for CBS.
After a stint in rehab, Sheen was supposed to head back to the set of the Two and a Half Men sitcom next week. But the network canceled production for the season after Sheen appeared on the Alex Jones radio show. Sheen's bizarre rant attacked the sitcom's creator.
I've spent, I think, close to the last decade, I don't know, effortlessly and magically converting your tin cans into pure gold. And the gratitude I get in this is this charlatan chose not to do his job, which is to write.
The production halt puts 200 show employees out of work for the time being and leaves a gaping hole in CBS's Monday night comedy lineup. It remains unclear whether CBS will abandon the show entirely or if Sheen and his $1.8 million per episode salary will be back to work next season. CBS reportedly took in more than $150 million in ad revenue from last season. Regardless, syndicated reruns of the show are scheduled to air for the next 10 years. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally to San Francisco, where snow is in the forecast today. To give you a sense of how unusual that is, consider the fact that it hasn't snowed in the city by the bay for the last 35 years and only three times in the last 120 years. Now, we know California is a state that's in a lot of budget trouble, so here is an idea. Skiing on the famously crooked slopes of Lombard Street. You can even use the city's trolleys as ski lifts. That could make up some money. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You've been to a movie lately? Have you noticed something missing in the trailers?
I really think the voiceover became almost a parody of itself, where it's just so easy to spot it and get distracted by it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Voiceovers as a thing of the past. We'll have that, today's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.